Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Wayneri Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota on this Monday morning. Can you believe we're almost halfway through June already? It's a breezy morning, and it is the 11th day of June, and the year is 2018. How about that? June McClune on Kim on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning is going to pull that microphone over to his mouth. He's worked the microphone on a lot of occasions, and Steve, I had everything written down about you that we had discussed for quite a while, the last two-hour event, and I was going to be so good this morning and say, how's your sister, how's your brother, or whatever, and I put it on the counter because I didn't want to forget it, and I went out a different door. So I don't have all of that back information. Now, you've been in many, many bands.
Yes.
And you've traveled. Around the world, was it, or around the United States?
Well, in part of the world, yes.
Okay. Yep. And you've had several bands, and you were the lead singer. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, you weren't much of a like an electric guitar guy or anything like that. You can play a very weird, different-shaped guitar. And you're also a percussionist, and what I called bongos, you called what?
Well, you're right. Those are bongos. I brought the bongos.
The bongos are here, ladies
and
gentlemen.
And congas and toys. We call them toys.
Yeah. And you would do that during a break in the song, I would suppose, as they're highlighting the guitarist and the drummer, et cetera. And then you'd step back up to the mic and continue singing. Exactly. And you would be described... If you were, for folks, if you think of a guy like Frank Sinatra, and then you think of a guy like James Brown, I think you would have a mix on that, but more towards James Brown. Would I be right?
That's correct. And yeah, for the movement and jumping around, dancing, Sinatra just...
He just sang and stood there, but
you know, James Brown just
You're an
took
entertainer.
It all down.
You're
an
entertainer. Yeah. And you're still doing it now.
I am.
And... You're no baby. I mean, you got to be over 30.
I would. Yes, I am.
And maybe over 40.
And maybe over 50.
And maybe over 50.
And
okay.
Maybe over 60.
Holy moly. What year did you graduate?
71.
Okay. 71. Now I got an idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because in 71, you were 18. And all you do is subtract 20 from 71 and come up with 53 was the year you were born.
Correct. Good one.
How do you like that, huh?
I like that.
Okay. Well, because...
Well, let's just say I'm 65 and I got a Medicare card.
Okay. Good for you. Let's do a replay of the first part of our interview that we had last time. Mm-hmm. Where were you born?
Waseca, Minnesota.
And where did you go to high school?
Waseca's Sacred Heart.
And did you go to college?
University of Minnesota, and I graduated at St. Mary's University.
Okay, and when did you start being an entertainer?
When I was 11.
And where would you
1964,
entertain?
So that would have been Beatles.
That's when I started my broadcast career.
Well, there you go.
And you're 11 years old. I actually did sock hops. And I would have said to you, hey, come on over here, kid, and do your thing. So what was your first gig?
The first gig was at Sacred Heart. It was a, you know, Catholic school in southern Minnesota, right there in Waseca, small. And they would have a special carnival, and we were asked to play in one of their classrooms.
Okay.
And so...
And the other room had Go Fish and right, things like
right,
that.
Yeah,
okay,
bingo and So it was a little different because we were a true garage band at the very beginning. Now, other people had started the whole garage band thing, but we actually practiced in Rick Kreitzer's garage in Waseca, and we'd open the door at times and do that as well. But we would, that's how the garage band thing came, because that was the best place to rehearse.
Well, now, is that the era of Tim Penny and his family?
You know, I didn't know Tim until just not so many years ago.
Okay, he'd be a little older than you?
I'm not sure. I think we're close.
All right, and of course they still play down in the Waseca area,
right?
And there was an agricultural school there too in Waseca.
Yes.
Did you perform for them as kids in high school?
You know, I don't think we played at the ag. We call it the ag school.
Okay.
We would play sports with them and that type of thing, but I don't recall a gig there, but it's possible.
could have. folks, you got to stick around because Steve has the bongo drums here. He also has a guitar that's made in India, it looks like.
Actually, it's Hungarian.
Hungarian, okay. And he also has voices that he does, which mm-hmm. will be interesting. Also brought a CD so we can hear some of the music that you're together with. And mm-hmm. and this CD is with called The Greatest Hits According to Steve McClune. So it's a collection of songs that you did with different bands?
Different bands and solo, but recording. So I started with the Judd Group and went all the way to my most current.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we play one?
Okay.
Just so people can get an idea about your talent. And what cut do you think you'd like me to play?
Let's see. How about...
Do you need this thing here?
No, I can just check real quick here.
And on the cover, he's got him bent over and holding the mic like you would see James Brown or any other great entertainer.
Actually, you know what we did?
What'd you do?
We actually took this is a James Brown picture, and we put my head on top of it.
Oh, okay.
And we angled it just the right way. So we found this blue poster and we thought, well, that's perfect. We'll just put my head on top and go from there. Don't tell anybody.
No, but of course you aren't using him on your CD, so you're looking up on your phone. We're going to play more than one, so pick whichever one we can start with.
Okay, I think, because last time I know we did Could Be Worse. How about More Than Enough, which would be number three?
Okay, we will do... Number three, 1, 2, 3, and this is called More Than Enough. Is this you and a band, or is this you with a band?
It's me and the band. I was a primary writer.
Okay.
And this is like one of the first forays into Latin rock, which I loved, because I played percussion.
Okay, and was it your band?
Yeah, this is the Judd Group.
The Judd, J-U-D-D?
J-U-D-D out of Rochester.
Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, almost in color live for sure. Or almost live. Color for sure. There we go.
Well, we're still alive.
Yeah.
I held you that night.
Steve McClone on the Wayne Eddy Affair by way of a CD on KYMN Radio, but we do have Mr. McClone in studio live, and we are chit-chatting for the second time, and I just really enjoy the enthusiasm that you portray here in the studios as well in your songs. Now, you mentioned something about teaching. When did that become part of your life?
Well, I've helped young singers, because I was trained by the best, you know, from otolaryngologists at Mayo with tips to Oksana Brin at McPhail, who was my vocal teacher. And she was one of the best, but she was the only one that would take rock and roll singers and help them learn how to sing without the least amount of damage and all that. And her whole thing was, well, we're opera singers and we sing louder than rock and rollers. So I don't know why people won't want to help you with it. So I helped teach other people how to do the singing part of it. And then I got involved with the Institute of Production and Recording out of Minneapolis. It's called IPR. So I go in and I help teach the vocal recording class. So they have to set me up and set up the microphones and do all this, the headset, and then they've got to make sure everything's right, and then somebody has to take care of the board. They have to be on the board. I bring in a musical piece, and then I record up to 20 vocals. So that's lead and possibly malting a lead, and then harmonies. Like, let's say four harmonies times four. So you can easily get 20 or plus, especially with what we call riffs. If they wanted to grab a, they could grab that off the riff. So, but they'd have to take all that and put it into their final grade, which is the final mix.
Now, the picture that you have in reference to you sitting at the board, I often wondered, is it really necessary for all of that? I mean, people walk into concerts, they'll see a guy at the board, and it will be huge, and they'll have knobs, and then there'll be five knobs on one section, and then there's like 50 sections, and they keep tweaking little things, and I'm going, is that all really necessary?
Yeah. Well, I mean, depending on what you're going for, the board that's on my Ultima Songs
it's page, huge. Yeah.
USR or SteveMcClone.com, whatever you want to get it, is that's an English board. And there's some people are just very much into the old school, because you can combine the old audio with the new type of audio, and they can be combined. It's kind of hard to explain that, but a lot of people do use what they call Pro Tools, which is digital, and then you can go back to old tape and actually do a combination. But back in old tape, with this Pro Tools, you can cut and paste, like right on a computer, right? But back in the day, you'd have to go to a tape and go,
yeah.
And then cut it, and then, yeah. So it's kind of a combination of it, but the best people, and I can show you an example, one of the songs.
On your website?
One of the songs that you'll hear this board.
Okay. How do we do that?
Well, what I would do is...
Just hold it up to the mic?
I would play... this is a song here. Obviously, I'm not as prepared either. Not sure what was going to happen.
That's all right. It's a live show. And while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about the QB. That's a quarterback club here in Northfield. And, of course, the quarterback club has been in town for 50 years. And the quarterback club has been serving that great roasted chicken all those years. And don't forget, the only place in town where you can get flame-broiled burgers, and you get them really fast, the way you like them, with a big order of fries and a large drink for like $7. It's quite a deal at the Quarterback Club in Northfield. And, of course, they hire a lot of local kids. and they are trained and they serve you fast. And then, of course, they have the staff that have been there for years. Some have been there for over 40 years. We're talking about the locally owned, locally managed Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. We are talking to Steve McClone. We will be back in a flash.
At Kenyon Hold and Warsaw Mutual, you can get the coverage you need from the people you know, and they will be there when you need them most, because Kenyon Hold and Warsaw Mutual grows trust locally. This is National Dairy Month, and Kenyon Hold and Warsaw Mutual and Grinnell Mutual would like to recognize the hard work of our area dairy farmers. Trust in tomorrow. Contact Kenyon Hold and Warsaw Mutual, your local Grinnell Mutual provider in Wanamingo today. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Well, we had a good time at the beautiful farm of the Liebensteins out there on Baseline Road, as they were hosts to the folks that came out to have some fresh milk and, of course, some cookies and waffles. We're talking about the Liebenstein Farm, where the Rice County dairy producers celebrated June Dairy Month last Saturday morning. It is now 9:20 on 1080 Radio KYMN. Actually, it's 9:19. You back, Steve? You got what you needed
there?
Okay. Steve McClone is my guest. Steve McClone is quite an entertainer, and he's been around the United States. He's started many bands, joined many bands, and recorded many, many tunes and puts on a real fantastic show. Did you make any appearances this past week?
Not in this past week.
Last month since you were here last?
The last month. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, basically, there are a few different bands I'm doing right now. One is called the McClune Experience.
Okay, that must be your band.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we do some 60s, 70s, and 80s, but, you know, stuff that people recognize.
Yeah, people our age. I'm older, much older than you, but I would even take in the 50s, if you will.
Right. And then you know, the youngsters hear this stuff, you know, on KQ and different, you know, and a lot of them like this older, the older music, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, just look at Prince. I mean, that his stuff isn't new.
Do you do Beatles?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you could do five shows and just never repeat a song.
Yeah, we typically open. Well, she was just 17.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I was going to ask you, as a vocal coach, okay, how do you teach somebody to sing?
Well, the first thing I tell people is to warm up, you hum. While you sing. It doesn't have to be any certain note, but instead of going la 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 la, and what the otolaryngologist, the concept is, it works together on the vocal, on the tube, as we call them, the tubes, to just kind of take the rough edges off. So it's probably one of the best ways to warm up, because you can do it for like a half an hour driving to a gig. You can hear me chewing. And then it's a matter of notes, nailing the notes. Then it's a matter of, where do you put it? I put it in my voice, my throat. I put it in my nose. I put it all over my head. Hey. You know, head tone, voice tone, guttural. So it depends on where you want to put it, how you put it there, and then it's a matter of nailing the notes. You got to nail the notes. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. So it's a matter of being precise, and it's a matter of breath. Grab your breath when you can. Push it out there, because you can tell when people have lost their breath. They've, you know, at the end of it. So, I mean, those are real, real simple things, but they're key. Because if you start there, you're going to be much better off than, you know.
How about people that you've heard the expression, he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket or something like that.
Right.
And there's a scale. Do, re, mi, that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you call that a, Oh, boy, I'm sorry. Anyhow, somebody like Maria Kira has like five of them.
Oh, yeah.
What am I talking about?
You're right, the scales.
Scale, uh-huh. Thank you.
And her scales are like from outer space. Way up there.
So, and so now they have auto-tune. Is
yes.
that something that you think is good, or do you think it's bad? Or how do they do that?
I wouldn't want to say good or bad, yeah. But I'm lucky that for the most part I don't need to be auto-tuned because I've locked in. And then when we perform live, now imagine we're opening for somebody like Lynyrd Skynyrd, right?
Okay.
Now the sound guys, they don't really care that much about what we're doing. So we would rarely hear the monitors. So you either have to hear it in your head and from the mains coming out here. So you've got to be in tune. You got to be sharp, and you got to be able to hit it. Now I don't. A lot of these you see people these days. They've got the in ear.
Yeah, yeah.
Monitors.
What's the deal there?
Well, I unfortunately I don't get it because that type of oral sound. I've got to have that. I've got to have that sound. So I'd much rather have nothing in my ear, nothing on top of my ear. If I'm in the studio, I put half this one side off so I can hear myself.
Mm-hmm.
But live, since monitors were always terrible, I just got used to hearing the whole thing, and hearing it from coming out the mains instead of monitors that are coming back to you, or the in-ear monitors, which just for me they just throw me off. I mean, you're enclosed.
Okay, now. If you were to pick a song that challenges a singer, it would be the Star Spangled Banner,
mm-hmm.
because that has so many scales, or what we call those. And have you ever opened for a baseball game or anything like that where you sang the national anthem?
Yes, yes. We did probably the best one was Harmon Killebrew Day.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, and... so opened with that, and then we went, we're gonna win, Twins, we're gonna score. So we actually sang the song that we also did. So, but if you start on the wrong note of the Star Spangled Banner, you know what I mean.
Yes.
I don't have to finish that line.
But now when I had the pleasure of participating in musicals here in town, and I'm question myself in regards to my voice and singing, and I can do maybe one scale of Do, Re, Mi, but certainly not two. So how do you teach somebody like, let's say, me? You must have run into performers that are limited in scale.
It could be limited scale, and then maybe they've limited their own voice as far as where they put it. Because a head tone would be, falsetto,
yep.
Right? You know, that kind of thing.
I can't get there.
So, full voices, right? So that's a full voice. And then depending on where you put it again, you can put it in your nose. You can put it in your throat. You can put it all around nose. Throat, so, oh. But to teach someone that it's basically for them to just keep working and working and working.
No, do you do more upbeats and ballads?
More upbeats and ballads, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
for live, because people, you know, no matter what fellow musicians will say, or my friends will tell me if I'm not on, they'll tell me if I'm. Oh, I can hear you, little horse. I mean, they know everything,
yeah.
You know. But if I'm not moving, if I'm not grooving, it's just like, what's wrong with you, McLuhan?
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Does it get harder? I mean, because you're all over the stage.
Yeah. Well, I just got my back fixed. So that's been helpful. But actually, I don't, for some reason, no. I can still jump a stage. Mm-hmm. I can... 12-foot stage, you can jump off to the crowd. So
wow. That's amazing.
But yeah, I think once you're born with it, once you live it, and then people rely on that, and they want to see that. And
who was better on stage, in your opinion, of the three? Michael Jackson, Prince, and
James?
James Brown.
Well, Prince and Jackson learned their moves from James and some of the screaming and some of the things that he does, because he also did a head tone like Prince. Baby! You know, all those different voices that you hear are different ways for people to experiment what they could do with a melody within a framework of chords. And so some people can get away with it, like Prince, you know, on the really high type of head tone or falsetto, and Jackson. And for the most part, James would be, that's where he'd put his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, he could sing five or six notes with his scream. But nobody could dance like him. And entertainment-wise, I think he really set the standard. And Jackson would have told you that. Prince would have told you that.
When you talk about falsetto, the ones that I think about are, my era would be the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. Be girls, they don't cry. I can't do it. Yeah.
Like, they don't cry. Be girls. Yeah.
What about Roy Orbison? Did he?
Oh, loved him.
I got it. I think every record he's ever put on.
Yeah. Just what an amazing voice, too. I'm trying to think of one of the songs.
Pretty Woman.
Trying. You know, so.
Trying, that one, yeah.
Try to replicate or duplicate somebody's voice is what I always tell people to do. So if you hear somebody sing, repeat it. Trying. You know. So. Repeat a verse. So somebody sings da 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 da, then you repeat it. Da 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 da, and the next one da 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 da, and you repeat it. Da 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 da. So you're echoing, and that's probably one of the biggest helpful things for people who are learning how to sing. Find their favorite people, and echo them, and then record it. Because now with these phones, you know. I record all my ideas, my vocal melody, lyric ideas. All I have to do is turn on my phone. So,
yeah, because you get them in a flash, and you can leave them where you thought about them.
Right.
And if you don't write it down, and with these phones now, I can't get there as quickly as you probably can, but. Definitely when you look at it, you say, oh, yeah, for me, that's right, I have to get this done or that done. And I also have to remember it's Steve McClone. I don't know why, but I want to say McPherson. I don't
right.
know where that comes from, but maybe I know somebody by that name.
Just call me Clooney.
Clooney is with me here in the studio this morning. He brought along a sitar or a guitar and some bongo drums, and there's a story behind that. Plus, he's going to do some voices that are kind of fun, and we're looking forward to that. And we'll take our 9:30 break and be back in just a moment on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You're listening to The One. 95.1 FM, and of course, for 50 years, almost 1080 AM.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
Flexion Care Suites on the campus of Three Links here in Northfield offers comfort care in a home-like environment. We provide compassionate, specialized end-of-life care to residents and families during phases of an incurable illness. We have a wonderful staff that provides the highest quality of care, supporting each resident's personal wishes. I am Susan Samuelson, Clinical Nurse Manager of Reflections. You can call me at 664-8809 for a tour of this beautiful facility.
That's Steve McClone you're hearing.
Now is it too much to ask to keep these moves up?
my sisters are about to sing the chorus with me. Check this out.
Your sister what?
My sisters.
Hey, won't you move me?
Able to move me tonight?
Yeah, won't you move me? Move okay. me tonight. So,
okay.
Rock and roll band, move me tonight.
That,
you know,
that
just
is...
got into a lonely lover's fight and want to escape.
That's a pretty good. That's original.
That's one of mine.
You wrote that?
Wrote that in Mankato.
Wow.
So, cruising down on Front Street.
Wow.
Trying to find escape.
And you brought along a guy that was really hot on the guitar.
Yeah, Tom Williams. Yeah. That's my partner. He's my partner with the record label, and he and I've been. He's a music director for all my live shows, and he's incredible guitar player. He's all over all the stuff. So.
Is Leonard Skinner the largest venue that you played opening for him?
Skinner, that was quite something because that was their hometown, and it was 2 weeks before that plane crash. So that was really.
Why don't you tell folks about the hometown and the plane crash?
Yeah, so Jacksonville, Florida is where Skinner's from, and we were asked to open for them. Now their air conditioning went down. Now keep in mind this is
Jacksonville, Florida,
August.
August. Ooh.
So the walls are sweating. Everything's going on. The manager comes up of the club and says, "You know, I don't think we can let you guys go on. We gotta get Skinner up there and not." And then Artemis Pyle, the drummer, said, "Well, if they don't play, we don't play." Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I guess
just
so.
Just the nicest guys. I mean, these guys are so cool. You know, we're the Yankees, and they were just.
And the management.
Nice Southern boys.
Management wanted to eliminate your show because it was so hot in there.
Yeah. That,
and the people were buying Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, well, they wanted it definitely for that.
Yeah.
So we did a little bit, a shorter set, but we got to play with them. And I just thought it was amazing that they supported us like that.
Have you had anybody hear your original music and say, "Hey, can I, you know, have that and as a co-writer so they can get some of the cash at Beak?" If it becomes popular?
Have not, I mean, as a...
As a writer.
Someone to utilize it, to sing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's your song.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. And the money is there. It's not in the performance when it comes to record sales and all that. And Colonel Parker used to put his name on Presley's work all the time. And then
publishing.
So has anybody ever heard your music and said, "You know what? I want to record that, but I want to be co-producer." Or
co-writer.
Co-writer, thank you.
I have not had that.
Oh?
I have not had that. And, you know, frankly, you know, I wouldn't necessarily buy that. A publishing thing or something else is different. One of the songs on this record was on a huge European, not greatest hits, but it was called The Giant Step. And so they asked.
Is that the music they sent up to in space?
And I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of, but they picked one of the songs, and we worked out a deal, and they utilized it. But typically, I just keep all my stuff. Now, right now, on my label, I got so tired of getting pennies from Apple Music and iTunes, and I mean. They're getting 99 cents, and I get 2 cents, or you get 1 cent, and so I said, "You know what? I'm done with y'all. I'm done with the record labels. I'm done. That's why I have my own record label. So anybody can go on my website and pull my music for free, every song."
Do you have videos?
Not as many, but I've got some live show videos, but I'm also working, if you can believe it, at my age. On some fun videos.
Well, you do still have hair, you know.
I do,
so
have
that's
hair.
Good. And I can picture you with your hair back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Down to your tailbone.
Well, I'll show you a picture later.
All right. And while you're getting that picture, if you can do it in 30 seconds, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you're with us today on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Steve McClune is my guest. But on today's 15 with the Author, Terry Knight's guest is Phyllis Root, author of Searching for Minnesota's Native Wildflowers. She and photographer Kelly Povo share their 10 years of visiting Minnesota woods, prairies, hillsides, lakes, and bogs for wildflowers. This beautiful book is full of rarely found flowers and loaded with information on each one of them. For hundreds of years, these flowers have grown here, but with the loss of native habitat, they're much harder to find. In Minnesota Wildflowers, they share where to find these gems. That's at 11 o'clock this morning on today's 15 with the Author, KYMN's Terry Knight. Always a good interview. There's your picture put on my glass. Oh, you were that? Just a kid then.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, your hair down to your collar.
Yeah.
Okay. That must be the Beatle era.
Yeah, you know, probably went, yeah. The longest I went is probably down to C6,
okay.
Cervical 6.
Cervical, is that the bad one?
Well, you know, you get the cervicals and yeah. The lumbar.
So did you wear a ponytail? Did you swing your hair on the stage while you were singing?
Well, you know, I'd wake up the next day, I would have rock and roll whiplash.
Okay.
Just about every single day.
And was it all wet when you got done performing?
I'd be 50% sweat in 1 minute.
Okay. And when I go to the YouTube, I can see you performing.
Yes.
In that era, or is it new video, old video? Back
probably,
in the 70s?
Probably more recent
than
the 70s, yeah.
All right. And where will you be performing on that video? Where will it have taken place?
We did the Hall of Fame gig in Mankato for the Judd Group. There was also another group before that called Caribou, after Judd, rather. Caribou, and that we did that in Rochester. So they're either like Hall of Fame type of gigs or reunion type of gigs. In fact, we just did another Judd Group, which is out on YouTube.
Now, the name Judd, J-U-D-D, mm-hmm. Isn't there a Judd's or a Judd Group already?
Well, you know the Judds.
Winona Judd?
Yeah, Yeah. Our keyboard player's, his name was Bruce Judd. And for some reason, they just picked the name Judd, and this is well before the Judds came out. So, yeah, you know, it throws a little people off. Then we changed it to the Judd Group.
All right.
But that band is in the Minnesota Midwest Hall of Fame, and that's probably the better-known group that I've been in.
Well, when you were they called the lead singer and the front man, correct?
Right.
So you'd be doing the talking, and it's great to be here in Mankato and blah, blah, blah. And then after set, maybe introduce the drummer and the guitarist and set. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel as if the people that are playing the instruments behind you, as you're just empty-handed, mm-hmm. holding the microphone, did you ever feel like you were any less of a performer because these guys back there were going crazy with their solos on the bass or on the lead guitar or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just so lucky. The people I played with, amazing. Amazing. Every band, you know, three of the bands are in Halls of Fame. And so talk about lucky. But yeah, always there. But you know what? It was always a band. It wasn't the great guitar player or drummer or singer. It was the band. And I think that's what a lot of people continue to look for. They want to be in a band. They don't want to be playing with a bunch of musicians for a longer term. In fact, I just heard one of my friends who's 67. He said, you know, I don't need that. I don't need that. I want to be in a band. I want to be with people who are together, you know? So there's a lot to that.
But there are some lead singers that can, you know, pick up a guitar and go to the piano and go to a saxophone and go to a bass, go to the drums, and they're very talented. And I'm trying to think of one individual that can do it all.
the guy from New Orleans, and he has his own show now, but he big man stuff, if you wanted
what
to.
What a great voice, too. Yeah. I can't think of his name, but yeah, looking. There's plenty of people like that. I write on piano or keyboard and a little bit on guitar. The reason the guitar will take me out of the same kind of framework of chordings that I use on a keyboard. So I still, in a couple that I actually played live on stage where I would play the keyboard, but I always wanted to just concentrate on the vocal, the performance, and the movement, because you know, from all my experience, that's what people love. That, you know, if you can sing, that's all good. That's necessary, but they want to see you work it.
You know, yeah.
And that's just
there's
deal.
A local guy. I think he's on KFAN radio, and he performs. And I saw him. We had him here at Defeated Jesse
the
James.
Country guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course I'm gonna Chuck or something like that. Anyhow, he was a shorter man.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, muscular, and thick legs and arms, and almost had his name. Anyhow, he put on a show, and I just love it when somebody puts on a show. And I have you got any bookings in the future where people that have listened to the last interview with you and this one, we could go and see you in action? Because I can just feel the James Brown in you. You know what I mean?
Well, the local vocal that, you know, we just talked
Greg Smith?
About, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to I've come down to sing with them and have some fun, and we're going to do a gig on Father's Day night.
That'd be next Sunday, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
And
I think this one is at the Senior Center, but I have to make sure I got that correct, but... because unfortunately I missed the ladies' night that they had.
Well, I think, if I'm correct, Mr. Smith is in the green room.
Yes, he is.
And if he is, give him an invitation to come in and give us the time and all that in the place. So
perfect.
While I'm doing this message here, he can step in the studio if he can hear us right now. And you're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, 1080 AM, Northfield, Minnesota. And we are the One FM, 95.1.
If you need to send a box far away or something overnight, what a cool sign for your business or a banner for your birthday. And you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox. You can make copies, get supplies, find a box, ship a box, buy stamps, fax a letter, get your mail, send your mail, make a sign, design a sign, fix a sticker, print a poster, FedEx, DHL, UPS, Speedy, or even through the U.S. mail. If you don't know how to do it, we'll help you through it at the Graphic Mailbox.
Affordable living could be yours at Northfield Manor. Located on the campus of the Northfield Retirement Community, the Manor offers HUD-supported one-bedroom apartments for seniors age 62 and older, or for persons with a disability. If your annual income is less than $43,750 per year, you could qualify. Northfield Manor tenants enjoy all the amenities that the Northfield Retirement Community campus has to offer. For more information, call 507-650-7332 today. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Welcome back. That's the sound of Steve McClune.
Every single way when I see you, your look steals the night away when you're near me.
Steve will be back in just a moment. We have Greg Smith has stopped by.
Hi, Wayne.
Hello, good morning, and seems to me I just waved at you a while back someplace in Northfield, but we don't have to mention... Unless you remember where it was, Eminent.
Well, I do. It was at the Eminent Brewery, and it was a great night of music.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And you were all dressed up. I didn't realize.
That band was really good.
They were the Dixie Swingers.
They were like from Tennessee's or something like that?
New Orleans.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were into their music.
They were fun.
And it was like a movie, the way they were dressed and
yes.
the sound.
Yes.
Anyhow, it's good to see you again.
Thank you.
And I had been on a, it was at Morristown Dam Days.
Oh,
and I was
okay.
helping the Rice County Sheriff's Department.
You were
that's
looking
why
spiffy.
Yeah. They gave me a root beer.
Well, know. Good.
I asked them for a glass of water, and they said, well, would you like? I said, oh, I'll take a root beer. So anyhow.
It was fun.
Steve McClune just is with me for the next hour and 12 minutes. And
right.
You mentioned to me in the green room
sure.
that he's going to be performing on the series that local vocal people are doing.
Right. It's our dinner and concert series at the Main Street Moravian Church. It's dinner at 5 and a concert at 6. And Steve, I call him Stevie Wondervoice. Stevie's our guest performer, and our group is going to be performing and singing and playing at the church. So that's at 8th and Division. It's our last concert series for the summer, so please come down.
And it's like, what, $8, $10?
Eight bucks? That's right, for dinner and a concert.
Okay, what's for dinner this week? Do you remember?
I'm not sure what's on the menu yet.
Okay.
But it'll be a nice, kind of a home-cooked type of meal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And volunteers do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's a fundraiser to keep the heat on. And
that's right. The lights.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm, yeah.
You bet.
And that's important.
Right.
There's not a pastor at that church.
We take turns preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you told me, I think, one time, if I wanted to preach, I could.
You'd be a guest. Yeah, you would definitely be have some interesting words to say, and I know you're a spiritual person. So
yeah,
let us know if you want to speak. Well,
if I ever have that inner desire
you get
to
the
get
call.
Up and say, hallelujah, you know. Steve in the background giving me a, oh yeah. So anyhow, once again, you're called the Local Vocals, and Steve is going to be a star guest. A guest star, I guess I should say.
You bet.
And
yeah.
Some of the things that you're hearing on Kim Radio for the next hour and 10 minutes, I'm sure he'll do at the microphone. You won't have this great band behind him.
Isn't that wonderful? It has a great sound. Oh, fun. I like the Latin rock beat
yeah.
a lot.
Well, thank you for coming in, Greg.
Thank you, Wayne.
What's the story behind that vest? There's got to be a story.
It's from Bolivia,
mm-hmm.
and I got it here in town at a shop when they were importing importing things from Bolivia, and I just love it. It's a old fabric. It's woven. It's antique, and they used to make blankets. And as you know, as the blankets wore out, then the women would cut them, as I understand, into smaller and smaller items, but they would continue to reuse everything. So it was very, very conservative and creative.
I knew there was a story. I could just tell. Thanks, Greg.
That's right.
All right. As Greg's moving out of the guest seat here on KYMN Radio, we're going to do another number as an intro. On KYMN Radio on cut number 6. And Steve, what was that? If you want me.
Have it all our way. I'm here to stay.
What are you doing here? We're doing sign language.
Okay. We are. Badly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That Haley's Lullaby. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is that what we were just listening to?
No.
Okay.
And Here to Stay, that was at Prince's studio. right after he had done Little Red Corvette.
Yeah.
So it was on Loring Park.
This is recorded at Prince's studio.
That was Prince's
Paisley
studio.
Paisley Park.
Actually, this is at Loring Park before he got big.
Okay.
That big to have Paisley.
Oh.
Yeah. Beautiful studio, too.
Who's doing the guitar here?
Tom Williams.
Again?
Okay. Unbelievable.
Click, click.
He's sliding this one. Keyboard player Mac McCormick from the Zero Ted Band. So this three piece and my vocals.
There's only four
three,
people?
Three people, yeah. So Prince would come in and Andre Simone and the different time guys. And
Lewis and
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were just buddies. We were just buddies at the hang out at the Minnesota Music Awards and all of a sudden. The next thing you know, they're gone. They just, they went Prince. And that's one of the songs out of that recording that I went to Capitol Records. And
uh-oh.
I almost got a deal. I was in final committee.
You didn't want to give up your soul?
Well, it didn't quite get there. I may have. But,
yep.
John Carter, they call him Carter, had rediscovered Tina Turner. He picked up on these tracks and took me to final committee. And then they unfortunately said they didn't hear a hit. So.
No, you were close.
I was close.
Did you get to see Tina Turner?
I didn't see. The Judd Group played with Open Up for Ike and Tina at one point. But no, but in the elevator, Lou Rawls.
Oh, yeah.
You're going for a deal. You know, I can't go that low.
Hey, baby.
I said, yeah, I'm going for a deal. I said, well, good luck, man. I mean, it's just the coolest thing. I said, you won't believe it, but I'm from southern Minnesota, and my dad's been a singer and all this. But the first record my dad bought when I was aware was your record. He said, oh, that's so cool, baby. You'll never find. Someone to hold you. You know, Lou Rawls. I met James three times. Stevie Wonder, you know, those are my main guys. And of course, Prince was a friend. The last time I saw him, you see how short I am.
Yeah.
Last time I saw him, he had heels like this, and he was about this.
He's showing me that he had to look down to look Prince in the eyes, so he's a little bit shorter, but. How did that hit you when you learned that Prince died of an overdose or just died?
God. Yeah, well,
the overdose didn't surprise you.
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk out of school, but as far as everyone was concerned, he was as pure as can get. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Nobody on his road crew could do it. Nobody in his band could do it. Everybody had to be on top of everything. If he called a 3 a.m. rehearsal, You're there. If you're not there, you're gone. So, to say the least, a lot of us who hung around had no clue. But I know pain from my back. Now if you imagine his pain from the splits, you know, if you've seen him do the splits.
Well, I've seen him do in those goofy shoes.
Well, and I couldn't do the splits Even with yoga lessons, I couldn't do the splits. But anyway, so to understand later that all this was going on is really, it's very sad, very sad. Yeah,
yeah, and I was not a Prince fan. I didn't dislike him. I just wasn't connected to his music. And then when I first heard him do the real high notes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking, well, there's a guy up there sounding like a girl.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Phone, baby. right? Yeah. That type of thing. Yeah.
And you know, like, you know, Sissy, but you can, it's hard to do.
Oh, it's very hard. To be in my show. And guess who loved it? The fans.
Yeah.
Especially female fans.
Well, I learned to like it after I, but the first time I'm thinking, what?
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Me and a little Corvette. You know, what, that was a pretty straight ahead kind of a hit for that time.
That
know?
Purple song, I still don't.
Purple rain.
I didn't think that was such a big deal song.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all style and you know, preference and what you like. But what a great guy. He was a great guy. It was just very sad. I mean, no one thought that'd be the last thing, an overdose of anything with Prince.
Well, I believe that he was straight and narrow, and I believe that the fentanyl was to relieve the pain. Yeah. And in Michael Jackson's case, he's just trying to get to sleep. And I learned through reports that when you're under the influence of fentanyl and out of conscious, that you aren't really getting rest and sleeping. So it's unfortunate that somebody would use that to think what they're getting. The body needs sleep.
Right.
And fentanyl isn't sleeping. It's unconscious. Yeah.
And, you know, no one to judge. No one to judge anyone else. But I can imagine the pain that he went through. But, it was really a big surprise.
And when Jackson died and they reported he was going on a 50-performance tour.
Right.
I thought, what are you crazy? 50? You know,
the rehearsals look great. I mean, have you seen the show?
But, I
mean,
yes, I did watch that. Yeah. But, you know, how are you going to do 50 of those in a year? I mean, holy cow. That got to be totally exhausting. I think it was a year.
Yeah, because some people do 350.
Yeah.
Out of 365. And, so,
you know,
we used to do 5-6 nights a week, and there was no break. Except we had one day off, and you're back on, and you just have to make it happen. No matter how your voice is, you got to make it happen. You
well,
those
it's 10 o'clock. I want to take a break, and when we come back, will you be so kind as to play a little bit of that guitar in the background on it, because it appears to be an interesting musical instrument. And then you have what are truly professional-looking bongo drums. Mm-hmm. Yep. And when I was a kid driving around in the early 60s, if you had a set of bongo drums in the back window of your car, you were cool. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, and now 95.1 FM, The One.
Historic summit, blasting Canada. I'm John Trout. North Korean state media is reporting that Kim Jong-un will discuss denuclearization and peacekeeping on the Korean Peninsula with President Trump tomorrow.
They'll get to know each other in a session involving just the two of them and translators. At some point tomorrow, the U.S. and North Korean delegations, including Secretary of State Pompeo, will take part in a much bigger meeting that will lead into all of the officials having lunch. Beyond that, we don't know, but the White House says the president will make some sort of statement before departing, and that's set for Tuesday evening here. Bob Costantini with the president in Singapore.
Briefing reporters in Singapore, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo highlighted U.S. policy.
North Korea has previously confirmed to us its willingness to denuclearize, and we are eager to see if those words prove sincere.
Correspondent Will Ripley provides insight as to what North Korea seeks from the summit.
A situation where eventually all of the U.S. troops, the 28,000 American troops who are stationed in the south, pull off the Korean Peninsula. A day when there is no need for the American nuclear umbrella that protects South Korea and Japan. And Japan, by the way, has some real security concerns that what if there's a deal that allows North Korea to keep its shorter-range missiles but give up its ICBMs, but those shorter-range missiles are still well in range of Tokyo.
President Trump left the G7 summit in Canada later to learn of the threat of new tariffs directed toward the U.S.
What we understand is that when the president left that G7 summit, he thought he was being quite magnanimous, quite helpful, had signed up to a few trade positions and the entire communique. Then he heard Justin Trudeau say that, look, they will retaliate on steel and aluminum tariffs July 1st if those American tariffs also go in. And apparently that just set him off.
Correspondent Paula Newton, Trump was on on Twitter lambasting trade practices with U.S. allies. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 8 points, the S&P up 3, the NASDAQ is up 14. I'm John Trout.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. We are a friend you can count on, and we are going to be playing a CD here, and it's all lighting up and moving around and being crazy, and no audio, so evidently this is not going to work on track one. Sorry about that. It just sits there, so unless you got a long intro. Well, let's try track two and see if that works. Well, it isn't working. And, well, that happens, you know. The CD players are different here and there, and it just does not accept it. So I'm ad-libbing as we're waiting to. Okay. Now I can't even eject. There we go. Okay. Do a reset and see if that is going to work. And, okay, things are printing out. This is live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. The song lasts 4 minutes and 7 seconds, and I don't have any sound from it. So I have everything pushed right, just sometimes some CDs don't work. Sorry about that. But what was, well, I see you're off mic, but what was I going to play?
That was going to be Haley's Lullaby. I don't know, because I heard the chime initially.
Yep, it's not working,
wow,
sir.
That's too bad.
Sorry about that. And even go to cut two, and that one isn't working. Okay,
this
there's just hardly any CDs around anymore. That oh well. You want me to try this CD? Okay.
This
well,
is
folks,
an old...
you're getting a play-by-play of a little mistake here. Has that ever happened on stage, Stephen?
Of course not.
Okay.
Never.
Okay.
Feedback? No.
You know, I've been president of the Minnesota Broadcasting Association, and we have conventions, mm-hmm. and we have a Hall of Fame banquet, and we have everything set up perfectly. Equally, it's going to be great, and you get out there, and the mic doesn't work. The right. batteries are dead. Right. Or you get out there, and the mic is working. However, the monitors are too loud, and you get all the feedback.
Yeah.
And then a piece of equipment breaks down. You go, you're sitting at the table, you know, this banquet or business meeting, and you think, we're broadcasters. And this stuff isn't working. So let's see if this one here is going to be one that we can entertain.
Oh, here we go now. Our Day Will Come, Ruby and the Romantics.
Oh, I like that song.
1960, number one hit. So I took a little different angle on it. And there's Capitol Records like this one. There's a possibility for a hit.
Our Day Will Come. I like this one. All right. We just opened a bottle of Coke. Ruby, who did that song?
Ruby and the Romantics.
Yeah, her day will come back in the late 50s, early
60s. I think it was 60s. Like 1960 was the number one hit. Yep.
Yeah, Our Day Will Come. I do remember that song. I was anticipating that you were going to harmonize with yourself, but you actually used two tracks on top of each other. And to be spot on, I mean, you were singing together with yourself.
Yeah. They call it, you know, it's like multiplying. They call it malt, or we would joke, it's the malt shop.
Yeah.
Time for the malt shop.
And so it's the engineer that that has to be the guy that knows how to work all of that equipment.
Right. And that was Pete Martinson. And he was the guy that did Andre Simone and helped with Prince. And then Janet Jackson came in one night for a weekend. I said, would you trade up your weekend for Michael Jackson's little sister? And of course, nobody knew who that was. They had to say little sister. But not, it was Janet. And of course, that's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and all the hits that they brought to Minneapolis. You know, they wrote all, Human League, all those hits they wrote.
How about, who did La Freak?
La Freak.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it something like Cheek? Chic? They didn't do that one, though.
Okay. Well, that's a Minneapolis sound.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, everything became the Minneapolis sound because anything that was hot and funky and...
Did you ever perform at First Avenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, several times, actually. Yeah.
They got a crowd that got the white man's music?
Yeah. I mean, there was different types of concerts, different types of gigs. We played there when it was Uncle Sam's.
That's
in fact,
back.
I think it played there when it was a Depot. Oh. So one band I was in Depot, and then Uncle Sam's, and then First Avenue.
Yeah.
So
that movie by Prince, Purple Rain. I started watching that movie, but they got down into the dressing room. They're doing a scene in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And it was so dark and dungy. It just,
Well, that wasn't the dressing room there. the dressing room there is right off stage. And it's not that dark.
Well, it looked like the dressing room.
Yeah.
When I say down, I don't know if it was down.
Yeah, I mean, that was their dressing room, but it wasn't the First Avenue.
Okay. I didn't like that scene. I didn't watch the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it just was too dark. I mean, visually, not dark comedy or anything.
Yeah, just, different strokes for different people.
Speaking about different strokes for different people, you brought two pieces of acoustic items.
Yeah.
And I thought perhaps if you're going to go for them, take those headphones off or you will snap back. Okay, he's reaching out. See what I tell you. Okay. Oh, you can do the bongos first.
I think so. I think bongos would be more appropriate to start. I don't know.
Okay.
They're awfully loud, because if I just play like that,
that's perfect.
But if I go, you know what I mean? Should I move back?
Okay. No, I can. Okay. I'm gonna turn me off so I don't get up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So to intro this. So it was just like you said. So if I'm not singing, what am I going to do? So I thought, well, I can play with different toys, tambourine, a cowbell, all that kind of stuff. So I learned that stuff. And then I heard Santana. And so my brother had a reel-to-reel, real nice Akai reel-to-reel. Put that on, put Santana on, and I learned from the conga player mostly, Columbo, who later I got to jam with, talk about lucky. And then the bongo players was different. So, but this is this is Midwest white bongos. But it was fun. So I'll just do a little thing. Okay,
all right.
Just let me know. Thank you. something like that.
Wow. You know, I mentioned to you that that was a big deal. I bought a pair of bongos and couldn't do that. No way. That, is that a hard discipline? Or do you have to have that rhythm in your body? But that when you do the fast part, your hands are moving where...
Yeah, it's more like solo. But, I mean, a traditional thing would be... Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I'm a black magic woman. Right? Da 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 da. Right? So then it gets into the. And so.
That's one.
Yeah.
I like that part. And you have to use different areas on the drum to get the sound.
Yeah, and different fingers. Or the elbow thing I was doing.
I didn't see you move your elbow. He's plugging himself back in here.
So this would be...
His earphones. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So those are that's three fingers going like this. And this one's hitting the end of it. So those are four fingers. And these are two hands. So, yeah.
Wow. I'm just in awe here. I wish I could do that. But how long can you... You can't keep that up for long, can you? I mean, it's a lot of work.
Well, some of the Santana songs get a little long. Yeah, you're taking some breaths because, oh my goodness, I know.
Well, you're tired right now.
There are 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. And you just do it.
Now,
just like you sing and jump and dance. And
okay, when you're doing that riff, I guess, whatever you call it,
yeah.
They're accenting different instruments. And do they come to you for your solo when you're using the bongos?
Right.
Okay.
Right, and we split them up.
Okay. So you look forward to that, and then you probably look forward to, okay, now I can just go back to a rhythm.
Yeah, you can just go back to a very simple thing.
Yeah.
But when it's time for him solo, people want to hear you explode.
Yeah.
They want to hear that banging. You know, people just there's something about people wanting to see you move, like you've never like they may not have ever moved. They want to see you sing and scream, and you know some of my friends said, well, you know, you scream too much, and I said, you go ask those people in the front, do they want a little screaming or don't they? They want it. They want it. Because a lot of people can't do it. So it's a way for people to kind of get their yah-yahs out. So the same thing with drums and stuff. If it's kind of notorious, I mean, it's just like...
Well, that we love drum solos.
Yeah.
When we were doing dances.
Even cowbells. I mean, there's so many different ways to play a cowbell.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I get it in my car. No.
Okay. Cowbell. I was thinking triangle.
Yeah, well, there's so many ways to do that one, too.
Yeah.
That was on that last song. So, ding, ding, when you hold it, how you keep it open.
Really?
Yeah.
The fellow that is the conductor of the Rochester Symphony Orchestra has been on my show a couple of times, and he's going to come back. He has Mondays available, and I'm going to ask him some of the... I kind of jokingly asked him about... What we see on TV is that everything's going on, and then they stop, and they go, ding, and then they, you know, it's kind of a joke. But evidently, a triangle can be played.
Oh, yeah.
Not just one little bing.
Well, on Our Day Will Come, so ding, 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 ding. So, yeah. Or it could just be ding, ding. But I did.
Oh, you were doing it yourself?
Yeah, that was. Oh. Yeah. So I do all my own percussion. And
so you do trampolines? Did I say the right word?
Tambourine?
Tambourine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, I have my bag of toys, so I can always bring it in and show you.
Well, we have 40 minutes left, but I'd like to maybe have another show and, you know, play some of your music and just chat about some of the gigs that you've done. But one of the things that this hour I wanted to do for sure is the voices that you have.
Yes.
And I don't have any idea what they're about.
Okay.
And I have to do a little thing right here.
Okay.
And then we'll find
Try
out
that.
What you're talking about, okay?
All right.
It is the Wayne Eddy Affair you're listening to. The time is 10:20 on 1080 Radio and 95.1 FM. And at 11 o'clock, which is just 40 minutes away, today's 15 with the author, Terry Knight's guest, is Phyllis Root, author of Searching for Minnesota's Native Wildflowers. She and photographer Kelly Povo share their 10 years of visiting Minnesota woods, prairies, hillsides, lakes, and bogs for wildflowers. This beautiful book is full of rarely found flowers and loaded with information on each one of them. For hundreds of years, these flowers have grown here, but with the loss of native habitat, they're much harder to find. In Minnesota Wildflowers, they share where to find these gems. That's at 11 o'clock on today's 15 with the author. And when you see the pictures in the book, you're going to say, oh, I want to go out and look for that. But listen to today's show. They'll have more details. We're back once again on KYMN Radio with Steve McClune. And Steve is standing up. And let's see, you're adjusting your pants.
And I got to stand up for this one.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's a lot.
And what are you going to do, Steve?
Well, I used to get in trouble in school because I'd make noise and I'd play bongos on the desk and stuff. I tried to restrain myself, but there was something always fun about making noises, animal, everything else. And we had a neighbor who would call her kids home. So I started, you know, I want to learn how to yodel. So I typically started my vocal thing with a yodel because a lot of people don't know, you know, it's wacky. So you want me to just do a little thing?
Oh, you know, I've always wanted to yodel and old lady who or whatever.
But. So I typically would start off, you want me to do it?
Well, yeah.
All right, here we go. Come on, baby.
Wow. You tired? That's a little work.
You get a little winded.
Wow. And so how is that a bunch of things that you put into your act, or is it one act, what you just did?
It's like a bit. You know, McClune's going to do his vocal solo.
Okay.
So it's, you know, a minute or two or something. But,
okay.
You know, they're different animals, and I'll forget some, like, ribbit, 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 ribbit. You know, stuff like that.
So it's true that the voice is an instrument.
Yeah. I mean, or it can be a catastrophe like you just heard.
Well, do you feel self-conscious at all when you do that?
A little bit.
Yeah, the snorting bit. Part. You know.
Oh, yeah. You know, any of that I can be because I'm fairly shy, and on stage people would never guess that, but you know, I'm fairly shy, just to do that in front, or actually to sing a song that I'm working on. When I want to do full voice, I'll pull it back to do a head tone instead, because I'm a little shy about having people hear it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And yet I got records and all of a sudden it's strange.
I was thinking that where would the snort come in? Is just as a little gig?
The snort?
A bit? The... Yeah.
It's just a mess.
I've had
but
women
people like it.
On the show that something funny happens and they'll
yeah,
it feels so embarrassed, you know.
Yeah,
but I never thought of it as a bit.
There's something cool about a snort like that. Yeah. And then you know the animals do their own, and then so just kind of fun. So depending on the deal and the response I'm getting and stuff, I just do this thing and then I finish it with a or something like that. So it's not quite exactly, but this could be six notes in harmony.
Wow.
Not necessarily in harmony, but you know, you can hear the different...
Does that hurt?
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I warmed up. Warmed up.
On my way to work, I remember when we were out in Waterford, it was through nature. As I went out 47, took Canada's Road, went over the Waterford Bridge over the Cannon River, and then a mile east on 320th Street with soybeans and corn and sunrise and all that. In the winter, beautiful snowfall, moon, the full moon. And I would do warm-ups on the way out there. La da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Burp, 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 make different noises.
Right.
And I always thought, what if somebody heard me? Because you're just by yourself in nature, and you're doing things with your voice. I can't do what yeah. you do. That took a lot of muscle. Holy cow!
And people would listen. You know, they'd listen. And go, what are you doing? Because I'd be backstage. Go, go from the lowest to the highest notes without full voice, the chew hum thing. And then usually I can tell in the morning where my voice is, and then the afternoon where it is, and then pre-gig. Because sometimes you'd wake up and go, oh my God, I'm, you know, 3 one-hour sets tonight, singing the way I do, you know, good luck. And then by the afternoon I go, oh, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to kill this. So, and then sometimes you have a cold and some of the most amazing things come out of your voice when you think nothing's going to come out of it. So it's just the voice is an amazing thing. I've never had any nodes. I've never had, you know, this, we're talking 54 years of doing this.
Wow.
Singing like that.
Never laryngitis or strained muscle?
I've had laryngitis.
Okay.
Nothing that was hospitalized or a concern for potential surgery, or the nodes are the worst because they interfere with the actual.
Steve McClune is my guest here this morning. He's originally from Waseca, Minnesota, and a Blue Jay. Went to Immaculate Heart.
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart.
We were Scarlets.
I went to a Sacred Heart in St. Paul. I was going to ask you a question that I thought was, have you ever thought of auctioneering?
You know, I watched those guys are amazing.
I know.
That's just, you know, I would just be going, blah, 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 blah. Give me 20. But yeah, they're amazing. And I've seen some of the guys in the different kind of juice that they bring with them for their voice. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've done many, many auctions.
Can you do the auctioneer?
Well, not like I used to because, you know, of various things that change inside your mouth as you grow older. But I was, I remember I really liked the song, "When I Was a Little Boy in Arkansas, I listened to my mom, she told me, blah, blah, blah," you know. And then it would get to $25 bidder, who'll give me 30, give me 35, but it, I like that.
Oh.
So
come on, give me a little 25,
30. I haven't done it for a while. Let's see. "Well, there was a little boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he had to go to school. He'd sneak around in the afternoon, pretty blah, 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 and soon he found the saw. Well, $25 bidder, who'll give me 30, give me 35, who'll give me 35. I got $35 bid, blah, 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 blah." But I used to be able to do it a lot faster.
Yeah, I couldn't even do that.
And I would do. I get 25, okay. Oh, 30. Will you give me 30? I get about 30. Yeah, I got the 35 over here. You know, and
that's great.
That's and,
great.
I was pretty good at it at one time, but I'd get exhausted sometimes.
That's a lot.
When you go up to $2,000 at $25 increments. It's a long process.
Yes. And you got, breath is so critical to the whole vocal thing. And so you asked earlier, but if you don't have your breath, you don't have your note.
You have to breathe diaphragmatically.
Diaphragmatically.
And you have to project.
Inhale, stomach out, chest out.
Yep.
Exhale, chest in, stomach.
I see 10:30 on the clock on KYMN Radio. We are talking live and in color on our studios in downtown Northfield on a very overcast day, and it's windy, and it is the 11th day of June, and the year, believe it or not, is 2018. Who'd have thunk about that? And Steve McClune is a very entertaining gentleman who has a great proclivity. How about that? I've always wanted to use that word to do things. We're going to take a brief break, and we can use one of your CDs and listen to that. But I also see that you have the guitar behind you, and we'll do that. But we're going to take a really brief 30-second break on KYMN.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living, conveniently located in downtown Northfield, has got a big case of spring fever. Our tenants embrace life to the fullest, and one way of doing that is cheering on the Minnesota Twins. Sure, we've got beautiful apartments, great food, and all the supportive services needed, but another thing we get really excited about is baseball. To catch up on the latest Twins news and get a tour, call me, Kathy Olson, at 507-650-0141.
This is Steve McClune on the Wayne Eddy Affair. The sound of Steve McClune on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. Steve, what was I listening to?
That was called Mantra.
Mantra.
Lovely Day. Kind of a little Sunday prayer song.
And did you write that for yourself or for your congregation? Or
I was at a congregation, and I was inspired, and I went home, and that's what I wrote.
And, of course, you're going to be at the church mm-hmm. on Sunday night, yeah. Dinner and show, the last one of the season. And for $8, you get a nice dinner, mm-hmm. and then you'll be there performing, and yes. Not with a ton of brass, and but you'll have acoustic guitars for sure.
And voices.
And yeah. voices, okay. Yeah, so,
because Smitty's got that
are you gonna do
guitar
it, going Are you going to do the hardcore James Brown dance?
If they let me.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't they let you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, I would be looking forward to seeing that. And of course, you're not going to be performing before a big throng of people. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? I did a Johnny Cash interview one time, and he was at, I think it's the Mary E. Sawyer Auditorium in La Crosse, and there's a blizzard. And, you know, there were 100 people there, if that. And he told me the show must go on. That's what those people are out there for. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do the show for the people that paid and got here. And he went out and did a show mm-hmm. with that minimal audience. But everybody just loved him, of course. And that was in his drug days. But how about you? You're not going to have a huge crowd this Sunday night. Compared to what you've had in the past.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You just enjoy doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And the people enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the deal.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's a double deal, that's for yeah. sure. Without a doubt.
So should I play cut off another CD, or do you want to do your guitar thing?
Should I try this?
Yeah, do whatever. You're the man. What is it?
Well, this is called an Amigo guitar. So, what I learned from Joni Mitchell, who's one of my favorite songwriter singers, is that you can tune a guitar to a chord. That's the chord I tune it to. Then you can... And I can use it as a percussion instrument. So it all depends. Sometimes you pick the music first. Sometimes you pick the melody first. But this is a song I'm working on, so I'll just give you an idea of how this came about. When you seek love, you can lose hope. And I don't wanna miss on you, not gonna do. 'Cause I can feel you, I can see you, I can wait for all the wonder on my way. I just know that it's his coming, and the heart's all just arriving. It's time, just in time. No singing, I had to. 'Cause there's no better way to find it. There's no better place to face it. I'm all in time, all in time. All I think of am all I crave. Every step, any dream, through it all. From the depths of heaven, it's time when you're reeling and growing. 'Cause there's no better way to find it. There's no better time to face it. In time, in time. Now there, no better way, no better way, no better way. In time.
No better way in time?
No better way, something like that. So what I do is I start like that, and that's probably halfway there.
Okay.
So I got to fix the lyrics.
So we're hearing it first?
Yeah, just to give you an idea how I write on a guitar. Because, you know, all the guitar players say, put the guitar away, Steve, put the guitar away.
Yeah.
But it's such a cool instrument versus the piano, which I have a certain kind of format I use. Mm-hmm. So it puts me in a different range of chords and stuff.
Can you play that independently, just play it rather than sing with it?
I mean, in my bad way. Yeah.
Well, can you want to try it? Because I can, just. Yeah, okay. What you do with your hand on the box down at the bottom, where you keep that beat. People like you don't mind being alone, do you? I say that in a nice way.
Yeah. I mean, I to write all the stuff I've written, you got to be alone. Because Lord knows, I don't want, that's why this part in this song, I was trying to find a place at Como Park to sing this, right? Oh. So because it's loud, and I'm just trying to find a place to do it where I don't interrupt anybody. And then all of a sudden, there's all these school buses come in with the kids. But so I can feel you, I can see you, like a verse thing. I can wait for all the wonder on my way. And then I just know it is coming. Heart so arriving in time. In time. Dum, bum, bum. So if I were to go on, walk on the street, instead of go, instead I'd go, bum, dum, dum, call the cops. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean?
That ain't humming.
Yeah.
It's 18 minutes.
So that just gives you an idea.
It's 18 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. We're out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of Kyle's Colleges and Contentment. As they say, one of the things that I appreciate about a person like yourself, and I ask you, have you ever been lonely? Have you ever been blue? Do you ever do any country songs for me and you?
Not so much country. Some blues, some kind of bluesy stuff. There's the country. These days is rock and roll with a twang.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really pop, very, very much pop. And there's so many. My youngest is a huge country fan, and he plays the stuff for me. And these guys and women can sing. And nice melodies, nice lyrics, everything's. I like the tightness of it, but I could never say I'm a country singer. I could never be a rap artist. There's certain things I can't do.
Yeah, well, rap, I understand. I thought it would be easy to do rap, and I've tried it in, private. I can be poetic, and right. I can do some rhyme, but I just can't seem to get the beat down to deliver it in the way they do it.
I mean, it's an incredible art by itself. So, once you know what you can and cannot do, it's probably best to try to stay with that even though some people would disagree with what I think I can do.
Well, I just wondered if you could do, you know, I Walk the Line in your own style. You know, some Johnny Cash stuff that everybody knows. And I heard one the other day. And I'm going, oh, wait a minute, that is, and it totally arranged differently than the country song, and it was into a rock style. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, that's how they, okay, I like that song.
And I just, burning me a fire, and down, 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 with the light, it'll burn, 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 this ring of fire, this ring of fire.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't that be entertaining for
it's different.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
And if you put your own spin on it.
Yes. Yeah, that's, yep.
They go, holy cow, that's Johnny Cash's song.
Doing a big gig in Sioux Falls, South Dakota with the Zero Ted Band. We're in the Hall of Fame out there. We're opening the jazz festival, and I was asked, well, pick an old standard. So I picked Fly Me to the Moon. And so...
Fly Me to the Moon?
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon and let me sing among the stars. Da-da. And then, you know Rod Stewart's versions of the old classics? He does a really nice version of this.
Oh, I know Rod Stewart, and I don't know his oldies or goldies or whatever you call them.
So... You know, that's kind of fun, because I've never done much in that arena. But
I think it would be fun to watch you doing, you know, the burn, 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 but with your...
The ring of fire.
Yeah.
The ring of fire.
Yeah, the ring of fire.
Now, see, you got that one. And I think we talked a little bit about it, but my dad was in barbershop. Right.
Okay.
And all these guys could sing, and there would, you know, be like 30, 40 of them. They'd be upstairs and downstairs at my folks' house, and that's how I learned how to pick up harmonies. And these guys would just be amazing. One upstairs would be singing one thing, downstairs would be singing another thing, whatever it be. But Dad always did, "I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. It'll be ready about 8:30." Don't do it. Don't be late. You're gonna get there when the band starts playing. You know, I mean, you know, and then and then I'd sit and listen to, you know, them doing thirds.
Downtown Blues or something like that. I can't.
Down to catch you in a taxi. All I remember.
Gonna get you, pick you up in a taxi, honey. Da 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 da.
Better be ready by 8:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh dear, don't delay.
They didn't do the old Susannas.
They do old Susanna.
Down by the riverside.
Yeah, down by the riverside.
And everybody wanted to, not everybody, but the audience liked the bass. For some reason, they liked the bass guy better. Or they wanted to hear him.
That's a tough one.
How about Elvira?
He's one of the best bass singers ever. He really is.
Elvira.
Yeah. It's like, what? And then the top guys go, Elvira. And the other, but yeah, it's amazing, and there's great singers.
We once again, it comes to that situation. We had Bowser was his name, and he was a bass for a group that played at Carleton College when KY Men first came to town.
Like Sidewalls.
Pardon me?
The White Sidewalls.
No. The White Sidewalls, I think, was more local, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, okay.
This is Bowser in a group.
The famous one, okay.
Yeah, that did all those fun songs. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember.
Yeah, I got you.
By the way, our guest, if you had never heard, has joined me. This is his second occasion, fourth hour of conversation. And we're doing mostly music today, but you've also had all kinds of wonderful experiences and near-death experiences and maybe some on-the-road experiences and maybe sometimes physically on-the-road experiences and all the traveling that you did within the country?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, we took an old school bus and converted it into a place where you'd have up front seating to keep the driver awake, and then you'd have this gigantic floor about, you know, eight inches thick of foam, and then people could sleep on that or rest, and then we'd have bunk beds, and then we'd have a backboard, and behind the backboard would be our equipment. And then I'll never forget when I first came to Florida with Judd, the bus had Methodist on top. So, you know, people would less likely try to steal the equipment.
Oh, yeah.
If it was a Methodist bus. No offense to any Methodists out there, but it worked. It worked, too. So we did a lot of bus, that kind of bus thing. And then other times we would, when we played the Bahamas, oh, that was amazing. A couple of us did yoga. So back when it wasn't that popular, but it was so cool at the time. So the guy that ran the yoga place was a pilot, and he would fly a Peter Max painted plane to the yogi guy. And the yogi guy was the guy that wrote the complete illustrated book of yoga, the very first yoga book to hit America, Swami Vishnu. So this guy said, well, would you guys come over and do sound and lights? And I know that you do kind of some spacey kind of stuff. Could you do some of that for us as well? So we ended up doing this thing. We'd go to Paradise Island. We'd go to Laurentian Mountains. People would give this guy land, and he'd have festivals and yoga teachers conventions and all that stuff. So we were really lucky. We got to hang out with guys like that, Peter Horn, some of the guys that went to Mitchell, they went to the moon and changed their lives, and really interesting religious people from all different type of sects. So we were really lucky. Ravi Shankar, we opened up for him.
Wow.
Yeah. So lots of really interesting stuff.
So in yoga, you didn't do the splits?
I couldn't. I couldn't quite do the...
It hurt.
And I have a yoga teacher's degree, but I could barely do a full lotus, which means, you know, one foot or the other one, because, well, some people just aren't built for it.
Yeah.
So, and they don't force it.
Yeah, I've tried it, and, well, I'm talking about as a kid, you know.
Right.
And, oh, my God, that hurts. You know, why? What are those things that are hurting? Are they tendons? Are they hamstrings? Or what are? And then you see these people come out and do the splits while balancing on their nose or something.
Or jumping and then landing like Prince. No wonder he...
Tear
it up. Connective tissue.
I'm going to take a break, and we're going to do our final break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair for this Monday morning. And it looks icky outside. How's that for being a weatherman? Tomorrow it's going to be partly icky with mostly ugh.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
This is David Lutescher of Krundhoffer & Lutescher, Attorneys at Law. Marv and I, and the best legal staff anywhere, are pleased to introduce you to the newest members of our legal team, Jennifer Nobach. Jennifer grew up in Lonsdale. She was previously a law clerk to several judges and has years of experience in social work. Jennifer joins Marv, me, and Robin Finke. Robin joined us last year. Robin has over two decades of experience, much of it as a trial attorney. And for the curious, yes, Marv still comes in every day.
Thank you, David Lutescher. It is a time to, it is. It's almost 6 minutes before 11 o'clock. We have time for one more tune. And I want to ask, we have time for one more tune. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve McClure.
Hey, one more tune.
What are we gonna play?
Well, I wanted you had asked about this big board that's on the website, ultimasongs.com or usr.com or stevemcclune.com. Just Google me, you can find it. So the big board that he's referring to is like, I mean, do you need all this stuff? Well, this was a board. My buddy had somebody who comes in and does CDs of just piano. And so he rents the best piano available. And the University of Iowa shipped it over, almost $300,000 Steinway. So my buddy mics it in a way that is pretty surreal. Eight microphones on this piano. So, and I'm not a great piano player either, but this is the result.
You're playing the piano?
This is, yeah. This
with
is,
eight microphones. Well, this should be interesting. See what we got going here. Violin behind there.
Yeah, those are that's a keyboard. Keyboard strings I played.
Okay.
On top of it.
Okay.
But I love it. I'm into cellos.
What's the name of this?
This is called Haley's Lullaby.
Beautiful.
Yeah. My friend's daughter.
Do you sing it also?
Yeah, actually, this is just totally instrumental.
At a wedding?
Actually at a funeral.
At a funeral. Okay. Oh.
I know.
But eight mics, that
eight
really...
Eight microphones?
That really brings it out.
Listen to that. Listen to that Steinway. Listen to that. Wow. That ain't your mama's piano.
Imagine what it would sound like if there was a good pianist on there.
I know.
Yeah, well, you said...
Well, known that.
Yeah, no, you said it. You said it, so I'm being funny.
So here's the very end of it, yeah.
See why it's a good funeral song.
Yeah,
they're fading off into the.
Well, she lived a lot. She had only she had a rare chromosome disease, but she lived 16 years, and she was only supposed to
your
make
daughter
it, make it one. My friend's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's her name is Haley. So that was that.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, you're sitting here, do one of your James Brown things.
Hey, I feel you. I'm that I want.
Yeah, and then you hear this mellow, beautiful funereal song. Haley's
Lullaby.
Wow. Yeah. You're beautiful. Hey, you think we could do another show sometime?
I'd love to.
Okay.
We have too much fun here.
I know. I don't know what you're going to come up with, but we haven't talked a whole lot about your traveling gigs and all that stuff. But
yeah. 010 Judd.
We'll do that. All right.
We'll take it down.
Okay, man. We're going to have fun.
Good God. Hit me.
Hit me.
Baby, baby, baby. I got the feeling, baby.
And if I only could have remembered the name of the group that Bowser sang it, somebody's going to tell me.
You will.
Hey, it's almost 11 o'clock, time for the 15 with the author. Steve McClune will make a date when you're not traveling and do it again, all right?
All right, man. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. This is your radio station. We are KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years, and now 95.1 FM, The One.
It's time for 15 with the author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
Once prairie grasses and flowers bloomed for hundreds of miles in the western part of what we now call Minnesota. Once tiny orchids grew among the roots of giant old pines, and fleeting blossoms sheltered in the shade of great maple and oak forests. These flowers that grew here for hundreds of years, though harder to find now, are still here. And through a wonderful new book, Searching for Minnesota's Native Wildflowers, author Phyllis Roots and photographer Kelly Povo share their 10 years of visiting Minnesota's woods, prairies, hillsides, lakes, and bogs for wildflowers. I am super excited. My guest today is Phyllis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and I have my own gardening show that airs throughout Minnesota and parts of Wisconsin on different radio stations as well. And I got your book, and I'm like, oh, my God, I absolutely love this. It is so beautiful. And it just, the photographs knock my socks off.
Oh, Kelly's such a good photographer.
She is amazing.